It's Football and Other F-Words. My name is Zach Lyons. You can follow me on Twitter at F-WordsPod. He's Mike Herndon. You can follow him on Twitter at MikeHerndonNFL. We are sponsored by Bluegrass Beverages. We're always in good spirits at Bluegrass Beverages. Whether you're stocking your home bar, planning a party, or just looking for that special drink you've been dying to try, Bluegrass Beverages has got you covered. They've been serving the Hendersonville community since 1973. And they have a new, recently remodeled space to provide even better service to their clients. So when it comes to great spirits, Bluegrass Beverages is the MVP. Don't miss out on the winning combination of customer service and fantastic selections. Mike, you are writing for Polkarski.com. We'll get to your article later today, or later in this episode. But you have an article out talking about the Titans defense. I work at StackingTheInbox.com. where we're doing a series on data analysis. Stoney's Big Board is going to have his first five players released on it later today, Wednesday. Trajan Watkins has an article out as well. Got a lot of content to get to. We got Vol's Twitter takes to get to. We got maybe some little bit talking about Hard Knocks. And I have a mystery topic for you that you have no idea what we're going to be talking about. But
first, always makes me nervous.
Always makes me nervous. But before we get to all that, I do have to say, I was invited onto the unofficial Titans podcast this week, and we did, and that's with Stoney Keeley. We did a retrospect on Jake Locker's career, and I have to say, at first you're like, can you really make a podcast about Jake Locker's very, very short career? But it was, if you haven't gone and listened to it, you should go listen to it, because it takes you into all kinds of different topics and territory that you really weren't expecting. Like, we're talking about life after football. We're talking about what could have been, obviously. But we're also talking about how people handled the pre-draft process. I mean, we got real deep into it. We only got through a third of Stoney's notes, and we went an hour and 25 minutes. I mean, it's one of the best, most enjoyable podcast I've ever done. So I encourage everybody to go to the Unofficial Titans podcast, wherever you get your podcast, to listen to that podcast. I don't know if you've listened to it yet, but you need to.
Not yet. I will get to it though.
What do you think about this statement? Well, I threw this out there that I think that, like, when you ask Titans fans what they think of Jake Locker, and you're doing sort of the Benjamin Franklin method of talking about a topic where you have your pros and you have your cons, you have your positives and your negatives. Out of all the quarterbacks that came through for the Tennessee Titans that were drafted by the team, his only negative probably from fans would be injuries. It's not like attitude, leadership, you know, all this stuff. No. I feel like when you get into it, like, Vince Young would have a long list of negatives, and then Marcus would have his share of negatives. But it's like, I feel like he's the most liked, but not for anything on the field, like quarterback. Like, you don't have a contingent of anti Jake Locker haters out there roaming the streets.
Yeah, I don't think there's a ton of Locker hate out there. I think I view him more. He was not as successful as Marcus Mariota, but I felt like there were some similarities there to some degree. So, yeah, I mean, I like Jake Locker. I thought he was a pretty bad quarterback overall. He was not accurate. Obviously, the injuries were the big thing. I remember being at the Jets game. I think it was one of the games where he got hurt. And, I mean, he was awesome in that game. And, like, the Titans offense looked great. And I was like, I remember being at the game like, wow, Jake Locker's finally figuring it out. And then, like, he goes down with another injury. And it's like, okay. All right, that was fun. That was fun while it lasted. Now we're back to, you know, whatever slap they put in, whoever the backup quarterback was then. I can't even remember now.
This is how deep we got. So he found the NFL.com scouting report, and, like, the paragraph is basically saying that he is not a long-term solution at quarterback. He's basically saying he stinks. He should not be drafted in the first round, blah, 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 blah. But they gave him a 7.7 grade, and that's a perennial all-pro.
Well, so you got to be careful with some of that stuff, though, because I mentioned this to Lance Zierlein not too long ago. He's the guy that does all the write-ups for that.
They His changed name their wasn't grading on it, scale. By the way.
Okay.
But do they go back and change it for previous articles?
they didn't go back and like retrofit the grades. They changed their grading scale at some point. So the grading scale today is not what the grading scale was back then, for sure. Because I think they might have changed it just like 5 or 6 years ago. Because I remember there was something, some player that I'd asked him about, and he was like, well, that was a different grading scale. And so they changed. So I don't know
but
how.
But they didn't go back and change it on this. So at the time, 7.50 was perennial All-Pro. I mean, I'm looking at it right here. So, yeah. I mean, so this is what they graded for him at the time.
That's crazy.
Unless they did something where it just went back and affected everything. But if this is the grade at the time, that's what I said. And it's like Locker decided to return. At this point, he's not an efficient passer. His greatest asset is athleticism. Is unclear if he'll ever be a starting quarterback. It's unclear if he'll be a starting quarterback at the next level, but he's got a 7.5 grade.
Yeah, that makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. That's
kind of wild.
Very confusing.
But we got into that whole thing. But let's get into this. You hate the Titans defense. You wrote an article today that says the Titans defense sucks and fans are stupid for liking the Titans defense. While you do have a lot of good stats to back it up, and you do talk about injury, and you bring up the now defunct shut down Football Outsiders DVOA, they went broke because their algorithm sucks.
I thought it's because they went woke.
I think that's ESPN or something now. but like the rush defense obviously was elite. Like there was no doubt about it. The pass defense has been the issue over these last 2 years. Obviously the rush defense will be good. Obviously, we should see some uptick in pass rush production, given that Arden Key is around and Harold Landry's back, as long as they stay healthy. The pass rush should be better than last year's pass rush. Now, will it be? I mean, it obviously should. I mean, they had like Rashad Weaver out there rushing the passer for the second most defensive snaps played, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Weaver played too much. But I mean, again, he's their third guy, right?
Yeah, but the pass rush wasn't good last year.
It wasn't very good. Yeah. It was at times. Like there was a 2 week stretch, I think, where they had 77 pressures in two games or something like that. So there were moments where it was good, but yeah, consistently, no, it was not. I mean, you think about I even think about the Green Bay game, and you think like, okay, they only allowed 17 points. That's a good game. That game was so weird because I thought the defense played like shit in that game. Like I thought the Packers moved the ball almost all they wanted, and then they'd get to like the edge of the red zone, and Aaron Rodgers would just like forget how to throw the football. He threw a ton of balls like at open receivers' feet in that game. Like, so I think the thumb injury or whatever he was dealing with there affected him in that matchup. But there was games, I don't know, I guess my overall point was not that like, it's not to shit on the Titans defense, but I feel like a lot of people talk about them and not like people nationally, you know, to talk like go back to like what our conversation was last week. Like locally, I feel like a lot of people talk about them like they're this like locked to be a top 10 defense, that this is like one of the best defenses in the NFL, that kind of thing. It's going to keep them in games. I'm not so sure about that. Like, yeah, there's not a ton of evidence to support that. They're an elite run defense.
But they do keep them in games, right? Like, but don't – isn't it the issue like – okay, so I think this is a good discussion because this kind of ties into the stats. Like, if the Titans had the game end in the third quarter, like if it was – if they didn't play the final 15 minutes of the game, they would have been like, I think it was like 11-5 or 12-5. I think it may have been 12-5, which is a crazy stat to think about, right? But isn't it because kind of like there is this symbiotic relationship where if the offense can't stay on the field and sustain drives, you're eventually going to be gassed out and give up that, because the other offense has so many opportunities, they can give up that one play, specifically against guys like Roger McCreary, who's like he's a midget, and Trey Avery, who's unathletic, and, you know, guys like that. I mean, I feel like that this defense can keep you into games, and it's shown over the last 2 years that it can keep you in games. And it really, let's be honest, the Bengals playoff game and the Chiefs Malik Willis game, Titans defense did their job.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. They have had good games. Like, that's, you know, 100% true. They've had moments where they've been dominant. I just feel like the consistency isn't necessarily there. I mean, they got absolutely boat raced by Buffalo. Buffalo does that to a lot of teams. It's not necessarily, you know, a total sin or anything like that, but they got boat raced. Same thing with the lights for blinding Caleb Farley.
I mean, those lights at Ralph Wilson Stadium were blinding Caleb Farley.
Yeah, that's the old, the lights were brighter than I expected. The Eagles boat raced them. You know, those are some of the best, offenses in the NFL. So I get that, but they did not even put up any sort of resistance. And if you look at the schedule and if you look at how they put up their stats, like a lot of the games where they really dominated and like kind of helped their points allowed per games numbers, they played five games against the bottom three offenses in the NFL last year. And out of the games that they allowed 20 points, that accounted for 5 out of the 9. So I think they beat up on really bad offenses, the Texans, the Colts, and who was the third one? Denver, the Broncos. And then of course, like the Commanders, they beat up on the Commanders pretty good, from a defensive standpoint. So they feasted on those, you know, sad sack bottom feeder teams that could not score on anybody last year. And they, you know, kind of got boat raced by a couple of the good teams they played and hung with a few of the good teams they played. I feel like they were more average than anything. They were more of an average defense. If you really look at the numbers, if you look at everything else, and look, I get the injury stuff in that context, but guys are going to get hurt this year. Like that's another thing I brought up in there. Like, I'm like, well, you know, got rid of David Long because he got injured all the time. Got rid of Dave or Zach Cunningham because he got injured all the time. Well, Monty Rice and Aziz Alshire have both missed like at least 4 games in each of the past 2 seasons. So it's not like these guys are dudes with spotless injury records. And you still got Amani Hooker who's constantly hurt, that you're going to rely on. You've got, Landry coming back from the ACL, which is, been proven to be an issue where it's going to affect his performance most likely for a big chunk of this year, if not the entire season. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of question marks that people just aren't willing to acknowledge, or that have largely gone ignored because the offense has been the focus of the offseason, and rightfully so, because the offense was the side of the ball that really held them back last year. Like the defense wasn't elite, but the defense was good enough to win football games if the offense was not a trash can last year. Right. So
right.
That's where I stand. It's not that the Titans defense is bad. It's just that it's more mediocre than it is elite.
It can't carry the weight of, it can't carry the burden on its shoulders 17 games out of the year. The offense has to step up.
Yeah. They're not the 49ers defense, right? Like there are defenses in the NFL that are, from a talent standpoint, just head and shoulders above what the Titans have on the field. And I think the other thing that I mentioned in the piece is that, again, and we've talked about this all offseason, or at least it's been a common theme for me, they have no depth. They have no depth. You get one injury, you're getting down to a dude who does not belong on a NFL football field, most likely. I mean, it is perilously thin at every single position on the roster. And honestly, the defense,
except for really cornerback, which is very odd, right?
And like cornerback's
easily but it's not necessarily great depth, even though you could make a case that, okay, if it's Elijah Molden coming in for, and you're putting Roger McCreary outside or Sean Murphy Button outside because Christian Fulton skipped leg day and all these photos that he's posting of him being all jacked now, then, that's not bad. And then you put in Trey Avery as your fifth guy, or Chris Jackson's your fifth and sixth guy. It's not really bad. It's not inspiring depth, but it's not bad depth.
Yeah, the corners are not – the corner is really the spot where they have, the most bodies with experience, right? But it's such a weird group. Like, it's like, Christian Fulton and Roger McCreary and Sean Murphy Bunting and Trey Avery and Caleb Farley and – it's just, the list goes on and on of all these corners. They all have played a little bit. None of them have played like at a super impressive level besides maybe Fulton and for parts, Sean Murphy Bunting has. But it's just kind of a, I don't know. You are an injury away at safety from being in a world of hurt. You were an injury away at outside linebacker from being in a world of hurt. You're an injury away on the defensive line from being in a world of hurt. Like, there are no, there's nobody sitting there that you feel like, okay, this is a young guy, or this is a guy who we would feel okay bringing into the game from a talent standpoint. It's just not there. It's scrubs. I mean, it's like paper thin. Like, the whole depth chart's like this. I mean, just, I don't know. This, it worries me because people are going to get injured.
Yeah, I think they should sign Reuben Foster. And, like, I know that's a name from out of left field, but he's still the fastest player on the field, and he's fast because of his football instincts and obviously his athleticism too. Yeah. The dude just has instincts, and what can it hurt, right? I mean, you're talking about bringing in a guy, inside linebacker, Monty Rice goes down, you plug in Reuben Foster. Hell, Reuben Foster could probably beat Monty Rice out in training camp, to be honest with you.
You might not win that job.
Yeah. But, like, to me, it's just like, why not do that? You know, Yannick Ngakoue's out there. Why not bring in Yannick Ngakoue?
I hate Ngakoue, but you could have
He had 9.5 sacks last year. You know what I'm saying?
He can rush the passer, but you, like, absolutely cannot put him on the field on rundowns. Like, he cannot play rundowns. He's like a third down.
You don't need
only.
Him to play rundowns, right? Like, we're talking about the players that they had last year produce an elite run defense. You don't necessarily need him for first down or second down.
And it could be more talked into Justin Houston. I agree that they need somebody.
Get somebody. Why not? I just don't see the apprehension. I understand that Yannick is a little bit more expensive, but at this point, you are not. What I don't understand. I guess they're at the crossroads, right? Like, the crossroads. Bone Thugs and Harmony over here. But, like, you decided not to do a full rebuild. So you need, in this instance, you need pieces that can help alleviate issues if someone goes down with injury. And you shouldn't wait until injury to do that. And I guess that's where I'm kind of at on this Tennessee Titans team. It's like, okay, I understand, fully agree, glow up is the right path. But you got to get some pieces if that's your choice. I feel like that's the choice and the path they chose, but they're not really coinciding with that path by actually making moves that help benefit you in that way. And Easton says there's a reason Yannick is still on the market. It's because he's asking for too much money. It's 100% what it is.
It's because he's asking for too much money, and he does not play run defense. Like, will not try.
Last report was like double-digit $1 million on 1 year deal. Was the last report? Oh, I think he was asking.
Is that what he wants?
Yeah, he was asking for, like, if I'm not mistaken, the last report I saw was like $10 to $12 million is what he feels he's worth. I mean, he's a 29-year-old. He's 28 or 29 years old. Yeah. So he was asking for a ridiculous amount of money. It's like the Dalvin Cook of the outside linebackers.
There's a reason this will be like his eighth team in the past 6 years. You know, like, come on.
But for this team, you only need him to rush the pass. Yeah, like, asking him to play run defense unless like five people go down at this point.
No, I mean, I would literally rather put like Sam O, whatever that guy's last name is, in at outside linebacker on rundowns than Yannick Ngakoue. Like, you cannot play him on first or second down.
I look at this team, though. I look at this defense, and I'm just looking at the starting 12 that you put up. Monty Rice is the glaring weakness on this defense. I mean, no doubt. And let me say something. No flags film, James Foster. I love that he cuts up all those videos and everything. But you ain't gonna tell me that Monty Rice is better than what everybody thinks he is. He's especially after you've already badmouthed Monty Rice and he was in your DMs. Like, he's not very good. Missed tackle rate. It's just, he's not. Listen, is he basically cheaper Zach Cunningham, who wasn't good last year either?
Basically. Yeah,
probably, basically.
Yeah.
Zach Cunningham's still out there, by the way. You could just go ahead and bring him back for real cheap if you wanted to.
Yeah. There's a reason he's out there, too.
But, I mean, like, you're not going to convince you know who's the only person that's going to convince me that Monty Rice is good? Monty fucking Rice. He's going to have to stay healthy, and he's going to actually have to play quality defensive snaps to string together more than Dylan Cole looked better than him on a more consistent basis. Jack Gibby put together at least two good games. Monty Rice couldn't even do that. I mean, Monty Rice has to put together some good games consistently.
Yeah, he has a lot to prove. I mean, I think there's a lot of – there's also guys like – I mean, if Roger McCreary plays like he played last year, that's not a good result for him either, no, right? So, not. Like, there's a lot of guys that have a lot to prove on this defense still. Like, they have some established pieces, but there's a lot. I mean, even Arden Key. Like, and I love Arden Key. I love the signing. We've been pro Arden Key on this podcast all offseason. The guy has not started in the NFL since his rookie year. Like, he has not started any games. Like, this is a new role for him, an expanded role for him. And also, I don't think what his career high in sacks is, what, like six, something like that.
Six and a half.
Yeah. So it's not like we're bringing in a guy that's, multiple double digit sack seasons, all that stuff. He has a lot to prove to show that
he
can be
started
like in
three
every
games
down.
Last year, bucko.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. He started three games when somebody got hurt.
We have to be right.
So I think Arden Key has stuff to prove. I think Aziz Alshire has some stuff to prove. Although, he's at least played like a full season where he was the primary starter in 2021, even though he did get hurt and miss games, like I talked about earlier. But he hasn't really been like a full-time starter for a consistent amount of time.
I feel like guys with something to prove paired with Mike Vrabel,
it could be good.
It's an awesome way to do it.
I think the path that they took through free agency of like getting these guys relatively cheap on short deals and like trying to kind of like reboot around like a limited amount of cap space, right? Like they didn't have a whole lot of cap space. They clearly didn't want to keep kicking the can down the road and restructuring and doing all that. So I think it makes sense what they did. And they took some swings that I thought were smart. So I'm not saying like Rand Carthon did a bad job putting this team together, but I just think there's a lot of question marks. And like some of these guys may not pan out. Like the odds are that like this whole free agent class that he signed, they're not going to be like 100% hit rate there. Like it's not like it's going to be like, well, Brunskill's awesome at right guard and Arden Key got 12 sacks and Aziz Alshire is an all pro. And like Sean Murphy Bunting is a shutdown corner. Like, it's not going to be like that. Like there's going to be a couple hits. There's going to be a couple misses most likely. And where those misses are could be important because of the depth issue that I need to stop talking about, but I can't.
It's every I'm just glad. Listen, here's all I ask. I think you need to write out a statement, pin it to the top, that you are unhappy with the depth that this team has. Because I do not want to have to hear it every time you write a 53-man roster projection.
Oh, it's coming.
I do not want to see it. I do not want to see it in the chat. I've already seen it two times. And you and Mello had like a whole conversation one day about it. And then he puts out his 53-man. Then he comes in to say the same thing. I'm just like, I don't want to fucking hear it. We all know. It's not going to – you all getting to the chat is not going to fix the depth in this
I'm just gonna do 42-man roster predictions the rest of the offseason because there aren't 53 guys worth making this roster.
I agree. I'm with you. Let's do it. I like it. Start something different. Do something new. All right. Enough about your hatred of the defense in this Tennessee Titans team. My mystery topic is here. So I was at Calabria. I do free shout outs because I don't care. I was at Calabria in, we have one in Goodlettsville. Great, great pizza. By the way, Neapolitan style pizza is number one pizza, hands down. Okay. But they were showing the 2010, I think it was Christmas or at least in December because they had the Christmas lights on it, game between Michael Vick and Eli Manning, the Jets and the Eagles back in 2010. Mm-hmm. But it was a player's choice game. Amon-Ra St. Brown chose that game. Now, the audio wasn't on, so I don't know why he chose it or who, like if he knows someone, that, like a relative that played in the game or if he just likes Michael Vick. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I thought a good topic would be, because I also recorded the Jake Locker podcast, What would be the Titans game? Like, if NFL Network came to you and said, your choice, we're going to play one game in its entirety, and one Titans game, what Titans game are you choosing?
Oh, God. I've got so many. My first thoughts go to the Patriots playoff game when they beat Brady in Foxborough.
That was a boring game,
but it was.
I thought about that. I was like, yeah, but it was fun for us at the bar. Yeah. But it was just like, man, that would be a boring rewatch.
It was a boring game, but I think the fact that like stakes involved and the fact that it was like going into Foxborough and beating Brady and like all that, like that's a memorable game for me. I will say the Titans Eagles is a regular season game, but the Titans Eagles game the Corey Davis overtime touchdown, that one would be near the top of my list. That Chargers game with the goal line stand would be near the top of my list. That's another one that we went to. Going back further, part of me would just want to say like the Titans Jaguars, like absolute massacre in the AFC Championship game back in 99. I mean, that one would be a joy to watch.
Yeah.
Just because it was just such a pummeling, and it was like, I mean, it's the biggest win in franchise history, technically. So yeah, I think that would be like my short list. I might just have to go with the AFC Championship. Yeah.
I like it. So my first instinct is to always go the Detroit Titans game with Jake Locker, where everybody leaves the stands early, the Detroit Lions fans are chanting and all this stuff, and they just come back and pull off that improbable miracle win. I think that is one of my favorite, because I mean, I was also there for that game, but that's one of my favorite games to watch live. I also thought about like one of the Marcus games versus Green Bay or versus Seattle back in 2016.
Yeah,
I believe it was. Those were some really good, fun games. They were pummelings. He's got Corey game. I thought about that. I also thought about the Patriots game.
This one.
The Monday Night Buffalo was a classic.
Yeah.
But I also thought about the Patriots game where they just decimated them in the regular season with Kenny Vaccaro getting that number one hit. That was a good game too.
With the reverse pass and all that, where Vrabel was trolling Belichick at the end of the game and all that. That was a good one. But I mean, the Music City Miracle game.
Yeah, but I feel like that gets played without you needing to request it, right? Like, I feel it needs to be a game that you wouldn't come across maybe once every 2 years. And I think your AFC Championship game answer is really a good one. But I think I would go with the Detroit versus Tennessee Titans at home with
Was that the Nate Washington game where he jumps over and makes the catch?
I mean, they went into overtime. Game. I mean, there are people. There are so many stories of people in the in traffic that are still that left stuck in traffic, but see the fireworks going off, and they're all like mad at each other that someone in their group said that they had to leave early because the game was over, and they turn on the radio and the Titans win. Like that's some good stuff right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's. I mean, honestly, there's been a ton in the past few years. I mean, just like the close games, like, you know, especially like home wins when the crowd's fired up and everything. Like, that Bills Monday nighter. I mean, when Henry broke the long run, I think the Titans were down 10-0. It was looking kind of rough early, and then Henry broke the long touchdown run. That was probably the loudest. That may have been the loudest I've ever heard in Nissan Stadium. I'll give you another one that would be a good one is the 99-yard game with Henry. I mean, that was a pummeling again, of the Jaguars, but that was such a fun game to watch just because Henry was just going nuts.
This is a good one. Titans Steelers 2008, where they stomp on the terrible towel.
Yeah.
That
would be a good one.
Yeah, I was in the stands for that one. And Titans Chiefs playoff comeback is another one that's been there. That's a good one. Yeah,
the Mariota, self pass to himself and all that stuff. The Jaguars win when they I got to be more specific there. when they beat the Jaguars to make the playoffs.
The stiff arm to Barry Church.
Yeah, that one would be a good one. Again, that was a little bit of a boring game for the most part until like the end. You had the Henry screen that broke. One that would be pretty fun, I feel like, would be the Browns Titans opener. When the Titans just jumped all over the hype machine Browns and destroyed Baker Mayfield and just absolutely went nuts. That could be a fun one. There's a lot. The Titans have played in a lot of really good games, honestly. I mean, it's
problem is they're only like one or two times a year. They're not like a few times. There's not like five or six every season. It's like it averages out to like one a season since they've been in Nashville almost.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like 25 good games of Tennessee Titans. Okay. I just thought that was a little fun little thing. It kind of made me think about that.
Yeah.
Mike, you made a dumb move and gave credence to a dumbass tweet by NFL. Well, you shared it, so you can't say that anymore. NFL rookie watch who has to have an X in their name, by the way, in the handle, because they for whatever reason. But and it said that essentially that Joe Milton is Anthony Richardson, basically, you know, athletically, all that kind of stuff. And you made the point that they're nowhere near the same athlete. Everything else may be okay or whatever, but like your main sticking point was that he's an average athlete for a college quarterback. And I think that should be distinct is basically what you said, but you said he was an average athlete.
Yeah. I said average athlete. And
I think for a quarterback, for a college quarterback at today's game, he kind of is an average athlete.
Yeah. I mean, I really like what I ultimately intended was like, compared to like NFL quarterbacks, compared to guys that are like starting in the league, like if Joe Milton came into the league, because it's all about like, the tweet was about like him being a prospect and everything. So like projecting him to the next level. Anthony Richardson, and like Vols fans get so mad, especially because it's the Gators and the Vols and all this stuff. But Anthony Richardson is a one of one athlete at the quarterback position. He broke like basically all the records for all the combine testing that he did.
For almost all positions, by the way. Like his RAS score is like top 10 in not just quarterbacks. I mean, it's number one in quarterbacks, but it's like top 10 in almost every other position on offense and defense.
Yeah, I set the settings to like compare him to tight ends, compare him to linebackers, compare him to defensive ends. Like he is like elite at all of those. He is a unique athlete. And look, I mean, if you want to shit on the combine stuff, sure. I get like the combine isn't the be all end all, but for athletic testing, for testing what your athleticism is, I think it's a pretty good test for that. So yes, he is an extremely elite athlete. And my point is Joe Milton is not that. Like he's a good, I should probably not have said just flat out average. Like he is a slightly above average athlete compared to NFL quarterbacks. And there's some Vols fans coming in my mentions like, oh, you saying that he's an average athlete when you probably couldn't even play D2. You're right. I couldn't fucking play D2, but I'm not comparing him to me. Who gives a shit? If I compared all these athletes to me, I'd say everyone's a great athlete. These guys are awesome.
And what's funny is that guy probably couldn't even type that tweet without getting into his inhaler.
Yeah, I mean, I would put me against a random Twitter user anyways, again, you know, playing football or basketball or whatever you want to do. I feel good that I'm an above average athlete as a human being, but I am not an above average athlete compared to college football players or NFL football players or anything like that, obviously. But the fact that people cannot take just – like a pointing out of the differences. I was just saying they're different. I wasn't saying one's better than the other. I was saying Richardson is an elite athlete. That's how he wins. Milton is a decent athlete with the best arm I've ever seen. Like as far as arm strength goes, best arm I've ever seen, bar none. Like to me, like Joe Milton throws the ball better than anyone from a velocity and distance and all that.
Well, he's had 6 years of practice in the college level.
Well, that's true too. Joe Milton has to be awesome because, you know, it's taken him 6 years to become a college football star.
When you're 33, I mean, you may,
you're pretty good when you're playing against 19-year-olds. Yeah. But it's the fact that like Vols fans can't take me just saying that he's not the best athlete among quarterbacks. Like if you lined up all of the NFL quarterbacks that are starting this year, Milton's not special. Like he's not in the top five. He's not in the top 10. Like he's going to be closer to average. He's not a better athlete than Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Anthony Richardson or Jalen Hurts. Or like, I mean, you could list these guys out. I mean,
he may not even be a better athlete than Will Levis.
He's not. Probably not. He's not a better athlete than Justin Fields.
You know what he's kind of like? And Malik, you know, I think it's a lot like Malik, right? Like athletically, everybody thought that he was going to be super athletic when he got here. And then when he got into the NFL, he was just kind of average.
I would anticipate Joe Milton being like a 4.6, 4.7 kind of guy in the 40, which is fine. It's good. It's above average probably for the quarterback position, but it's not elite. That's not why he's going to get drafted. And that's the point I was trying to make. Is that like they were saying, is he the next Anthony Richardson? Like in what way? Like Anthony Richardson was 20 years old coming out in the draft. Joe Milton is going to be 24. Anthony Richardson won with athleticism. He is an athletic freak. Joe Milton is a fine athlete, but he is not an athletic freak. And yes, I've seen the video of him doing the backflip. Good for him. I'm excited about that. Him and Bishop Sankey can have a contest and see how that goes. But it is just not.
I love that doing a backflip means you're like some elite athlete. Like, yeah, when did that become the measure for athleticism that you could do a backflip? You know how many fat people I've seen do backflips off a diving board or off the side of the pool into a pool? Like, let's get real. Like,
if you've got some gymnastic background and like some level of athleticism, you can do a backflip.
I cannot do a backflip. To be honest, I've never attempted one. That is not pool related, but like, I don't feel like unless you're going to do two backflips in the air, like some of these wrestlers can do flips like that. You're not impressing me. That's not an impressive feat.
No, it's fine. Like we saw who was it? Kalen Saunders did a backflip at 320 pounds or whatever it was.
Yeah. That's impressive.
That is impressive. You know, like, come on.
You know what? He's also not an elite level athlete.
Right. So I I grew up a Vols fan. I still root for the Vols. Like I am a Vols fan. I'm obviously more of a Texas fan. Having gone
they gave
there,
you some little piece of paper and you just fallen all over yourself or you ditched your team because they gave you a little stamp, embezzled stamp on your paper.
Here's how I look like it. Here's how I look at it. I am always going to be associated with the University of Texas to some degree because I got a degree from there. I know a lot of people that went there. I have no real affiliation to Tennessee besides growing up rooting for them. Like my mom went there, so I do have like some reason for liking them, but it's not like I didn't go there, right? So I will allow my attendance of Texas to trump my growing up rooting like for the home team, right? So, but anyways, I still root for the Vols. I like the Vols. I want them to win pretty much every week. But the fan base is awful, like dreadful to deal with. And it makes me like, I'm considering just like boycotting tweeting about the Vols, period. Like I just will not say anything about them, good or bad, because the fan base is obnoxious. Like you can't say, like, it's like when I got an argument about Juwan Jennings around that draft and literally, I was saying, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of like the Titans drafting him because I felt like they needed speed. And he was like a 4.7 guy. And there was somebody a bunch of Vols fans actually that jumped in my mentions. They were saying, well,
here's
you know,
a clip
Jerry
of him
Rice
really fast.
Jerry Rice was a 4.7 guy. You don't think the Titans should draft Jerry Rice. And I'm like, oh, so Juwan Jennings is Jerry fucking Rice now. Okay. But yeah,
he's really done a great job since getting to the NFL, Juwan Jennings, lighting the world on fire, much like Josh Palmer. I remember when I got told last year by a guy in a chat named Wayne, And he told me that Josh Palmer is the next Alvin Kamara.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, look, and I
get that, like, crazy all, we're getting here.
All fan bases have the irrational ones, but the Vols fans are particularly vocal about it. And I guess particularly online about it, maybe, because you can't say anything about a Vols player that is even somewhat negative or not, like, just
get those alerts
showering them with praise without the Vols army jumping in your mentions and calling you a fucking idiot or a casual because, you know, you don't think Jalen Hyatt's going to be the next, Randy Moss or some shit like that. It's absolutely nuts. What do you think about
everybody being mad that you said that he's not Anthony Richardson?
I mean,
the whole last year, the whole last 7-8 months, since start of college season or until, you know, whatever, till the draft, just shitting on him.
Yeah.
I mean, all he's done is just say he sucks, he's terrible, he's bad. And you're saying that, hey, listen, Joe Milton is a better quarterback, but he's not as good as an athlete. Well, how dare you say that?
I mean, yeah, it's insane because, you spent, like, all draft season shitting on him. They want him to be
Anthony Richardson now. They're mad that he's not Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. Like, it's super confusing. It's very frustrating. And I just wish you guys would, like, listen to yourselves a little bit because, like, I feel like I'm capable of rooting for my team without believing every single player on the team is, like, the best player at their position in the history of sports, right? Like, so just pump the brakes. Like, and these are probably the same people that thought Hendon Hooker was, like, you know, should have been drafted number one overall and all this stuff.
And listen, I would not be surprised if Joe Milton goes undrafted. With what you saw from Josh Dobbs, or not Josh Dobbs, Hendon Hooker,
yeah,
I would not be surprised if he went undrafted just because everybody's going to think a 6-year player in a pass-friendly system, a system that the NFL does not respect. Like, the NFL does not value the Josh Heupel system. And that doesn't really affect Josh Heupel, right? I mean, like, yeah, it doesn't affect him. He's getting paid millions of dollars, getting contract extensions, winning games, and all that kind of stuff. But the Tennessee Volunteers are going to have a down year compared to last year. And he may look great, but that's just not, that box score scouting is not going to fool the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to put up numbers, right? Like, that offense is just going to put up numbers. There's no doubt about it. And I fully expect him to.
It'll be an unbearable offseason, by the way, next year between the draft. It'll be unbearable, considering, you know, all these players coming out. But yeah, Vols Twitter. Ugh. The worst. They are the absolute dirt worst.
Just take, like, a Valium or something like that. Because, I mean, y'all are way too keyed up for, like, a mid-July tweet that wasn't even negative. I don't even hate Joe Milton. I think he's, like, got – like I said, I think he's got the best arm I've ever seen. So, you guys need to chill the fuck out. That is my advice.
All right, Mike. We got a big swing in the DeAndre Hopkins – sweepstakes. Gambling has decided to, after being plus 500 yesterday, they are now favorites to land. The Tennessee Titans are favorites to land DeAndre Hopkins at minus 300.
Wow.
So they went from plus that's an 800 point swing, by the way.
That's wild.
In 24 hours. Trace up here, he asked what's been the worst topic of the offseason for the Titans. And I think that it's definitely the DeAndre Hopkins talk, because I swear, I don't mind calling people out, I swear that A to Z is funneling the same fucking five topics about DeAndre Hopkins from their primetime show to their midday show that Sam Phelan is occasionally on and their morning show. What percentage do you give DeAndre Hopkins? Here's the latest on DeAndre Hopkins. Do you think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a Titans? And I feel like they're just regurgitating the same stuff after any time a news story breaks about DeAndre Hopkins. Well, we better spend a whole show revisiting the same topics we visited last time. I am tired. I am at the point of the Jadeveon Clowney situation where it's like, I fully expect Jadeveon Clowney to sign with the Tennessee Titans, but damn, am I fucking tired of hearing about it. And that's kind of where I'm at with DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I'm fairly confident that DeAndre Hopkins signed with the Tennessee Titans, but damn it, can he just fucking do it already? Because I am just tired of seeing it, tired of talking about it. But I do think that that was a pretty big swing in momentum. Apparently, Michael Lombardi has, I guess, some big sway over in Vegas on these Vegas odds.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, it is kind of interesting. You get Lombardi's deal, and then all of a sudden the odds slip. I think you got to be somewhat careful with these odd swings, because sometimes it's them trying to like goose some betting, you know, get some people to throw some money down, or at least attract attention to the bet, you know? Cause I know they did it with like the NBA draft. Cause it was all like, Scoot Henderson. And then all of a sudden, like, it was going to be Brandon Miller. And like, there was this big odds run on Brandon Miller to be the second overall pick. And it ended up being Scoot Henderson, being picked second after all, so it doesn't always mean anything, but I do think that's a huge swing. Like, that is a huge move, which is very interesting. But yeah, I think the most annoying thing of the offseason, like, story though, to me, isn't DeAndre Hopkins, because like, at least that's interesting. I hope it doesn't drag out any further, because I am tired of like just speculating.
It should
about
have been
it.
Today. I said it the other day. There's no sporting event today, right? It's the All-Star games last night. You would have had, if I was his agent, I said, listen, we're not getting, we let's go ahead and sign this deal. And here's what's going to happen. You are going to be the talk of the town all damn day.
Well, you do it this afternoon, though, right? Because this morning, you know, people are talking about the All-Star game last night, maybe at least a little bit. And then so you do it this afternoon. So the first thing, all the morning shows are talking about DeAndre Hopkins to wherever, you know. Maybe it'll happen today. Maybe there's still time.
Like, normally a swing like that, I'm like, whoa, that's a big ass swing for. Really, the only thing to really have came out the last 24 hours is what Lombardi said. And maybe you're right. Maybe a bunch of bets went into Titans and DeAndre and started swinging it the other way violently or whatever. I mean, speaking of A to Z graphics, Easton brings it up. Last night, for Buck's show, they were talking a lot about the Will Levis versus Malik Willis, you know, bullshit stories that are out there. But all the graphics had Will Levis wearing number 7. It wasn't even like a legit like Titans graphic. It was a photoshopped graph that someone else did, and he's got number 7 on. Well, he's number 8. Well, what are we doing here? What's going on over there?
And we've got pictures of Will Levis since he's been wearing number 8.
I'll get it.
It's funny. But my most annoying topic has actually been the Will Levis and Malik Willis stuff. Cause I'm just tired of like, I don't know, just the micro analyzing of the young quarterbacks. And I get that's like kind of what's going to happen, but these guys are going to like, get to give them time and let's see them actually play in a fucking preseason game before we decide like, oh, is it time to panic on Will Levis? Oh, is Malik Willis, you know, the next Steve McNair now because he had a decent off season. Like stop worrying about it. Stop stressing about it. We aren't going to know about either of these guys for quite some time. So chill out.
So the NFL made a decision. They are forcing the Jets because I don't think that they really wanted to do it. They forced the Jets, which was the obvious choice from the get go. Like at a certain point, the NFL just needs to say, you're fucking doing it. And they could have avoided this whole thing. Like, is Hard Knocks even going to be a show? Why does everybody hate Hard Knocks and the NFL, you know, team speaking out against it? But it was the obvious choice. How long until you give up watching on Hard Knocks? Because I'm like a one episode, two episode kind of guy of Hard Knocks.
I generally feel like last year I probably didn't make it all the way through. But usually I'll try to watch all of them. I still enjoy it. It's that time of year where I'm like really excited about football, and that's like football content that is, I mean, is it overproduced and like, you know, the same shit kind of dressed up a different way almost every year? Yeah, but I still watch it. I still like it.
Okay, how many times once a Hard Knocks episode is over and Corey Davis makes some good catches and on the film and all that kind of stuff, and he's talks, everybody's gonna be like, We got to have Corey Davis. Let's make a trade for Corey Davis.
Oh, immediately. Yeah, really? But I don't know if – I mean, is Davis even going to, like, make an appearance on Hard Knocks? Like, he's not a super interesting guy, you know? No offense to Corey Davis. Like, he's just not a huge personality.
No offense, but you're boring as fuck. But no offense. No offense.
Well, he's not a huge personality as it relates to, like, publicly and in the media. I don't know. Maybe he's, like, super funny behind closed doors and, like, that'll be captured on Hard Knocks cameras or something. Yeah. But yeah, this is going to be the Aaron Rodgers show, right? Like, that's right. The reason they're going. They're going to get – it's going to be all Aaron Rodgers all the time, and it's going to be exhausting because he is a fucking chore to listen to speak about any topic. But it'll at least be interesting. He'll talk about some weird shit.
Yeah, Diesel in the comment section beat me to my next question was, I've heard a lot of hype over this quarterback documentary that came out today on Netflix. I mean, I was going to watch it anyway. Yeah. It looked really interesting. But I think it's I'm kind of excited to hear this Patrick Mahomes shit talking. I'm not really too interested in Kirk Cousins. I guess a lot of people are like, oh, he's such a more likable guy. But I'm like, why was he ever unlikable? So I didn't really understand why he was unlikable, because he's like Ryan Tannehill. He's just vanilla, like, yeah, as a person. Like, I'm not surprised that he's like a humble guy.
He wears chains on the plane, man.
Yeah, you know. And I'm interested to see what Marcus is like, because really, everybody's talking about Kirk Cousins and Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not surprised, but I'm just so interested to see, like, Marcus's part of his journey throughout that whole last season.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely excited to watch that. I haven't watched any of it yet, but I'm definitely excited. Like, Netflix does awesome documentaries. I obviously, yeah, like the what was the F1 one called? Drive to Survive,
Breakpoint for tennis.
The golf one was good.
Yeah.
So yeah, they definitely, it'll be great. I'm sure it'll be super well done. And look, having Mahomes is a huge deal for that. Like, you just, I feel like we get a lot of Mahomes coverage, but you don't always get, like, a lot of, like, what the real Patrick Mahomes is like. You get the, you know, buttoned up, like, made for TV, made for commercial Mahomes 9 times out of 10, I feel like. So I'm interested to see what he's like a little bit more, get to know a little bit more about him. And look, Cousins is kind of boring, but maybe he's more interesting than we know. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't get any sort of coverage because he's boring as a football player. So I'm interested. Yeah, I'm excited to see it. It'll probably be better in Hard Knocks. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it will be at least, it'll be interesting, because, like, I want to see what direction the players. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers is either going to eat up the camera, like, he's going to be so excited that he could spout whatever weird conspiracy theories or, you know, events that are going on behind closed doors in his life, or he's going to not want to talk to them at all. It's like no in between. He's either going to hog the spotlight, or he's going to avoid it like the plague to make some kind of statement against, you know, the man or whatever is going on in that
fucking head. Aaron Rodgers is 100% turning Hard Knocks into the Joe Rogan podcast for 6 weeks. I mean, that is what I predict is going to happen. But I think Zach Wilson and, like, he's going to be a part of that story. Like, they're going to focus on him. That'll be interesting. Sauce Gardner, I think, has some personality to him.
I think it'll be fun to see what he has to say about, like, oh no, wait a minute, he's with the Browns. I got that mixed up. For whatever reason, thought Elijah Moore got traded to the Jets.
Quinnen Williams has a big personality too. Yeah. He'll be super funny. Like, he's got a good personality. So I think they've got enough players there that can carry that show. I think it'll actually be a pretty good one.
That will do it for us. This has been Football Under the F-Word, sponsored by Bluegrass Beverages. He's Mike Herndon. He hates the Tennessee Titans. I'm Zach Lyons. I cover the Tennessee Titans. StackInTheInbox.com for me. Read all of Mike's hateful hit pieces on players and the team over at podkarski.com. Fits right in over there. You can get all of his anti-Vols take, the Vol Twitter takes for the Volunteers over at Mike Herndon NFL. You can follow me on Twitter at @EffortsPod. We're both on Threads. You're on Threads at It's Mike Herndon. I'm on Threads at @FWordsPod. It's a little Wild West over there, but I like it.
I kind of like Threads. Yeah, it's not great yet. Like, Twitter's still better right now, but I think it could have. It's got promise. It's got promise.
Here's the question about the Quinnen Williams thing, yeah, because you brought it up. He's on the last year of his contract. Is he even going to show up without a new contract?
That'll definitely be tune into Hard Knocks to find out.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I will say on Threads, if you want to follow me on Threads, follow me on Threads. But if you try to follow me on Instagram, I may not approve your request because it's like 100% just pictures of my son and my dogs. Unless you're really interested in that, there's no Titans content on there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even use that F-word spot Instagram for anything other than Threads at this point. But yeah, there you go. Other than that, I think we covered everything. Bluegrass Beverages, our sponsor. 440 Sports, Broadway Sports, those guys too. Listen to all their shit that they're putting out as well. other than that, this has been Football and Other F-Words, and you have just been F'd.